You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I am Danny Wexelman, and I am joined by national columnist and storyteller extraordinaire, Richard Justice. Richard, it is a pleasure. What's going on?
It's an honor to speak to you on Thanksgiving Day. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. It's an honor to speak to you anyway.
All right, listen, we're going to start this podcast off. You are filling in for the Honorable T.R. Sullivan this week. We're going to start off with a little bit of breaking news because the Rangers acquired outfielder Hunter Cole. He was with the Giants, and now he's been assigned to AAA. And this is to complete that June 6th Sam Dyson trade.
Yeah, and what this amounts to is you're getting a prospect. You're getting a player. In Sam Dyson, you traded a player who needed a change of scenery. Good arm, but it hit a really rough patch with the Rangers. And so what you're getting is a guy that has a chance to be a player someday. You know, he hit .249 the last 2 years in double-A ball. He doesn't have a lot of power, but he's a prospect. A guy like that has a skill set, and the way John Daniels looked at it is, okay, we know we're not going to get your top guy. We're not going to get probably a major league ready player. But this is a guy that some of our scouts like his skill set and think he's got a chance. You know, he played at the University of Georgia. A lot of people liked him coming out of there. He was a third baseman at Georgia, but he's been a right fielder for the last two seasons. And you know, the Rangers are in a period of transition, and guys may get a chance.
All right. I like it. We're also going to spotlight Michael Young, Joey Gallo, who are going to be at an event coming up in December. And proceeds from this event are going to benefit the Texas Rangers Baseball Foundation. And basically, you can go, you can get photographs, autographs. It's pretty cool. Two really cool guys. Emily Jones is going to be there, too. This is a cool event.
Yes, it is. And let me just say this about those two guys, Michael Young and Joey Gallo. There's nobody that's ever played for the Texas Rangers in the nearly 50 years the franchise has been in existence that's more respected than Michael Young. He was the ultimate team guy. He was the stand-up guy in front of his locker. When he got traded to the Phillies after his Ranger days were done, I told him one time, I said, you know, the things they're saying about you back there in Texas are the things that any of us would like to have said about them, the way you conducted yourself, the way you played, and all of that. And in a franchise that had Nolan Ryan, that Michael Young would be probably, and Josh Hamilton, those three guys, Michael Young, Josh Hamilton, Nolan Ryan, the three most popular players in the history of the franchise, would tell you a lot about what he's like. And Joey Gallo's a guy that last year, finally, they put him out there in the lineup, they let him play every day, and they realized, let's stop trying to make him Barry Bonds or Mike Trout or anything else. Here's what he's going to be. He's going to be a one true outcome guy. He hit 41 homers, but he is going to strike out some. He's going to walk some. He's going to be a very productive player. And as the Rangers move forward, he's a cornerstone to what they want to do. And Michael Young, back as an assistant to John Daniels, he too is part of everything going forward. So those are two guys that if you're a fan, you want to go, you can ask questions. They know everything about the Rangers. Michael Young goes back 15 years with the organization, and Joey Gallo represents what the Rangers are moving forward.
So two guys who are doing great things off the field and on, but let's cut to the chase, Richard, because John Daniels, he's got a laundry list of things he wants to get done before the season starts, but what is his first priority?
Pitching, starting pitching. I mean, right now he goes into this season with Cole Hamels and Martin Perez. And they're not sure of anybody else after that, whether Nick Martinez, what he is going to be, you know, A.J. Griffin, what he's going to be. Having said that, they want to cut the payroll, too. You know, they have, if you count the arbitration guys, they have $111 million in 2018 commitments. And that's $77 million for four players, Hamels, Chu, Adrian Beltre, Elvis Andrus. What John Daniels would tell you is, we're not trading Adrian Beltre. And what that means is, okay, we're not going to do one of those Astros-type teardowns. We're going to try to remain competitive. So you're trying to add starting pitching, the most valuable commodity there is in baseball other than maybe home runs, and try to keep the payroll where it was last year, if not a little lower. Quote from John Daniels, this is not a rebuild. So it's going to take a lot of baseball expertise to go out and fill roles. In the rotation, they've agreed to let Matt Bush try out for the rotation. And, you know, I've thought like a guy like Jake Arrieta went to college at TCU. His dad is a high school coach in the area up there. a Lance Lynn, a Alex Cobb, but I'm not sure they can even go to that area. If they had Andrew Cashner, I'm not sure they're going to go there. So it's going to take baseball expertise to maybe see something in a Juan Nicasio or Chris Tillman or Jaime Garcia that no one else sees. It's a dicey winter.
Yeah, I feel like at this point we all sound like a broken record talking about the starting pitching and how much the Rangers need. I feel like it's a pretty tall order to fill three rotation spots. You mentioned Jake Arrieta, who's from Texas, potentially bringing back Yu Darvish. And then you also mentioned Matt Busch, who could be fighting for a rotation spot. You know, can you just expand a little bit on these ideas?
Yeah, Matt Busch wants to start. Now, every reliever, if you go to who the starting pitchers we saw emerge as dominant relievers last year, Archie Bradley in Arizona, Joe Musgrove in Houston, guys like that, they all want to go back to the rotation.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a matter of money or contributions. You know, they feel like that's their larger contribution to the team or anything like that. Some guys like it. You know, if I'm the Diamondbacks, I'm having a long conversation with Archie Bradley and said, we think you could be a really good starting pitcher, but you got a chance to be one of the great, great relievers in the history of the game. You come in throwing 98 miles an hour. That's pretty. That helps us in a big way. But again, you know, if you want to give a guy every chance to start, Matt Busch has thrown some changeups. He's basically hard stuff: slider, fastball. Can he come up with a fastball with a changeup that he can throw in the strike zone? I don't know. And then after that, you know, where do you go? Is Nick Martinez at the point where he can be salvageable? Is there anybody in the minor leagues that you feel is ready to contribute? I think on the surface that the Rangers say no, there's not. But, you know, you don't know. You go to spring training and let guys compete and all of that.
Yeah.
And that's where you are.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot.
And Danny, let me just say this.
Yeah.
In the $77 million for four players, Hamill, Beltre, Andrus, and Chu. The Rangers would very much like to trade Shin-Soo Chu. He has 3 years and $61 million left on his contract.
He seems like
a
luxury,
at the time, he was an on-base machine.
Yeah.
But he's 35 years old. He had a 780 OPS last year. I don't know that they can do that. But I think, you know, if you ask John Daniels right now, that's probably his top priority to see if, you know, if we eat some of Chu's salary, could we find, is there a team that he would fill a need for? And then we could have some more money, $10 million or whatever, to spend on pitching.
All right, there's another name we need to mention. It's Jerickson Profar. There's no resolutions in sight right now for who was once a top prospect in baseball back in 2013. What's their best move right now with Profar?
Well, we're at the end of the game on him. I mean, we're going to know now because he is out of minor league options. And it's... You know, at one time, back in 2011, 2010, this was the number one prospect in baseball. And there was a time at the start of the 2016 season, the first half of the 2016 season, the guy hit 320, was playing first base.
Yeah.
Although he's a second baseman, third baseman, that you thought, okay, this is the guy he's supposed to be. And then he hit the skids at midseason last year. He hit 172 this year. The weird thing is he's still productive at AAA. He had an over an 800 OPS at AAA. And the issue is, I mean, John Daniels said he's going to be on the team in 2018. We're not going to trade him. We're certainly not going to leave him unprotected in the Rule 5 draft. But the issue, Danny, is not is there room for him? Because Odor struggled at times last year. Beltre's entering the end of his career. There was... You know, they need a first baseman again. That's not the issue. The issue is if you brought him up, maybe like with Joey Gallo, and you put him in the lineup every day, would he be productive? You know, having said all this, it's four different seasons. He still only had 700 plate appearances. That's nothing in a major league career, and he's still only 24 years old. He's one of those guys, if you met him, you would like him. He's personable. He's a confident guy. It's time to find out once and for all if he can play.
Yeah, maybe he just needs that push. Maybe he just needs to take the jump. All right, Richard, two more things we got to talk about. Carlos Beltran retiring this week. after 20 seasons in Major League Baseball. He gets his ring with the Astros, but he played with the Rangers. He was a cool 39 years old when the Rangers acquired him in 2016. What do you think fans will remember him most for in the heart of Texas?
Two things in the heart of Texas. One, in 2004 for the Astros, he had one of the great playoff runs any player's ever had. It was incredible to see. The other part is he contributed to winning teams. I mean,
yeah.
The Rangers and Astros both went to the postseason, and they would tell you, I mean, he brings a calmness. This is why he wants to be a manager, and he maybe take a year off or whatever to kind of reconnect with his family,
right,
and do normal things that major league players don't have the chance to do. But he wants to be a manager. And when you've seen what he's done the last 2 years, I mean, I could give you a list of things. Marwin Gonzalez would say that conversations with Carlos Beltran led to his breakthrough season.
Yeah.
When Yuli Gurriel made that gesture toward Yu Darvish, it was Beltran who came in the dugout and said, you got a problem.
Yep.
This is all over social media and TV. And he also... Beltran also texted Darvish and said, I'm telling you, this is a good guy who did a terrible thing, and I need to get you two guys together. And it was just little stuff like that. There was funny stuff, too. A.J. Hinch texted him at one point in the season, said, are you good to go again in right field tonight? I don't want to wear you out.
Yeah.
And Beltran texted back, I'm not as old as you. A.J. Hinch is 2 years older than Carlos Beltran.
Oh,
they were once teammates. So, you know, he is one of those people that if you've been around him, you played with him, you covered him, you managed him, you like him. And the thing is about him, okay, 20 years in the big leagues, he's done. He's done with that. He's gotten everything he can get out of his career.
Yeah.
But the next chapter of his career, the part that's coaching and managing and all that, that's really exciting for a lot of people in baseball. He still has a lot more to give.
Absolutely. Baseball deserves a guy like him. I feel like the sport is better with him in it. And I think that with him as a manager, it's going to revolutionize a lot of different things. All right, Richard, last thing I got to ask you about Twitter 280. Are you happy or sad that you can say more on Twitter now?
I don't need to say anymore. and I think certain prominent people certainly don't need to say anymore on Twitter.
Yes.
And you know what it's done? It's changed the look of Twitter.
Right.
It looks more like Facebook now, like where you could scroll through quickly. Now it's like, oh, please, you had enough to say. No, I think what was it, 140? I think that's fine.
Plenty.
That's plenty. If you can't say it in 140, shut your mouth.
You know what, Richard? I agree. I think less is more, so I'm with you on that. All right,
besides,
Richard Justice.
It's all about the gifts anyway. Who cares about the words?
That's right. We only want all the gifts. My favorite one is the girl with the cotton candy who's clearly had way too much sugar. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Yes.
And I just saw one today of Jack Nicholson making a gesture at a referee at a Lakers game. I thought, hey, that's pretty good. I want to see that, some more of that.
Exactly. All right, Richard, you are one of the best, if not the best, and I love talking to you, so thank you for hanging out with me today.
Thanks for inviting me, Danny.